Hope everybody's had a good day today. It's getting a little bit warmer. It looks a little bit better out there. We are going to be tonight talking about the church. Chris has been talking about the last three times we've been talking about God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. So tonight we're going to shift away from the doctrine of God. We're going to talk about the church. So we're going to be in three New Testament texts tonight. So if you guys were Bible drill champions in your former days, this will be a good test to be able to flip through the Bible again and find those passages. And if you can't, I'm going to give you the numbers anyway, so don't even worry about it. The first text we'll be in is Ephesians chapter 2, and the verses will be 19 through 22, and those are on page 1134 in your pew Bibles. And so tonight, what we want to talk about, we do want to talk about the church, but we're going to talk about, I'm trying to figure out a way to say it, we're going to talk about the church instead of the church. We're going to talk about the local church instead of the universal church. So what I mean by the church is just what we are now, a local body, a local body of believers. When I say the church, I mean the universal body. The part of the universal church is even already passed on, such as people like Abraham or Noah, and obviously they aren't part of our church. So we're going to talk about the church, and we're going to start looking at Ephesians chapter 2. Our verses that we're going to focus on are 19 and through 22, but I'm going to start reading from verse 12 to give us some context. So, remember that you were at the time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. We're going to skip on down to 19 now. If I can read. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundations of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you are also being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. So we know that God's word often uses a lot of imagery to explain things to us, and this is no exception. Paul is using imagery here to explain the structure of the church. He uses words like cornerstone, foundation, things that were to build structures that we're very familiar with. I'm going to back up, and we're going to look at where Paul says strangers and aliens. He says that in verse 19, I believe, yes, in verse 19. So he's using these kind of words because in ancient cities like Ephesus, a stranger or an alien would be, it's not a citizen, so they don't have privileges in those cities. If you are a citizen of that city, you have privileges. So like when Paul would go on his missionary journeys, he would go to the synagogues first and speak to the people, and he's speaking a new message to the Jews when he's talking about Christ. If he was a citizen, he would get pretty well privileges to talk to the people. If he was a stranger, as we see in other places in Acts, like in places like Philippi, he actually got beat and put in prison, and that's where the Philippian jailer was converted. But, so that's why he's using this language. And he's connecting it to the church and to how we are supposed to view the church and what God has done for us to bring us into his church. So as we were once strangers and aliens, we are now citizens. And so we get to enjoy the privileges of heaven one day, and we get to enjoy the privileges of spreading the gospel here on earth, and that is a wonderful privilege that we see from God's word. I'm going to have to slow down. I know you guys can probably tell I'm nervous. Oh. Okay, I'm going to breathe and get through it. Okay, so our foundation is God's word. Paul says that the foundation was the apostles and prophets, and so what they were doing was speaking God's word to the people, because as Paul was writing New Testament texts, they didn't have a New Testament to look at like we do. They only had the Old Testament. So the apostles and prophets were speaking a word that now we have. So now our foundation has become the Word of God. And that's what our church is built on, and the Universal Church as well. We also see a cornerstone, and we know that Christ is our cornerstone. It's a very familiar phrase. You hear it in a lot of songs. But Christ is our cornerstone, and a cornerstone of a building keeps it stable. So if you take the cornerstone out of a structure, it's going to collapse, and it's just going to be completely unstable. So if you took Christ out of our individual lives, our lives are going to collapse. Same thing for the church. If you take Christ out of the church will collapse. And Paul closes in this section of Ephesians by saying, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you are also being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. So Paul is clear that it's in Jesus that we are being joined together, not in ourselves. We are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. So to worship in New Testament times before Jesus arrived and Old Testament times, the Jews would have to go to Jerusalem, to the temple. But Paul is telling us now that we don't have to go there anymore to worship, that God meets with us here in our corporate worship and fellowship and worship, because as Paul says in 1 Corinthians, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit individually. And so when we come together, we also present, as God tells us, a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. So that kind of gives us some insight into the structure of how God has made his church and what he's done to form it. So now we want to look at what our task is inside of the church that he's created. And we're going to go to Hebrews chapter 10. We're going to start at verse 23, and that is page 1168 in your pew Bibles. So Hebrews chapter 10, starting at verse 23. I'm going to read a little bit of context and lead into it. We're going to start at verse 19. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. So the writer of Hebrews starts off in this, and you might have a section in your Bible that says the full assurance of faith right before you come to verse 19. And the point that he's making is we do have full assurance, and we have complete assurance that we can come into God's holy places and into God's presence with full assurance, because we know, as the text says, that we do have a great high priest in Jesus who has paid for our sins, that we can come to the throne of God boldly. And we can also have that same assurance of faith as we walk into church, as we walk into the doors here at Vine Street. We can walk in and sing and fellowship with each other and hear the preaching of God's word, knowing that God has provided what we need to bring us back to him, and that is Jesus, and he is our great high priest. So now, as we have that full assurance of faith, the writer of Hebrews gives us what we are to do now, our task. And so he says, he exhorts in chapter 23, hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. Sometimes it's easy to waver with our hope. You know, circumstances in life gets very hard, and it's easy to waver. But we're exhorted to hold fast. I love that word, or those two words, hold fast the confession of our hope. We have hope in Jesus because we know that he is real, and we know that he is faithful, and that's what the writer ends with, is that Let us hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. In verse 24, so if we're holding fast the confession of our hope and we believe in Jesus, our hope, what are we to do now? And so verse 24 gives us some practical things that we can do. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. We were just talking about before the service, a smile is contagious. It really is. And there was different ways back then probably to fellowship, just houses to house. But today, there's ways that we can stir up one another to love, such as a phone call to an old member that you might not have heard from in a while. Maybe baking a cake for somebody. I know I always like that. I know I speak for Justin too with the college ministry. When we're taking our finals, that food is phenomenal. And if we got A's, I attribute it to that food. And so, and some other things. But that's one way. When I eat that food, I become happy. And it stirs me up to want to do good for other people too and to love. And so that's what he's given us some practical advice to do. And he also tells us to not neglect to meet together. Before I moved to Boyce and to Louisville, I worked in physical therapy, and I called it physical torture because most of the patients I worked with, I used to have to put them through the ringer, and they didn't like me very much. But between their exercises, we would get a good chance to talk, and a lot of them would talk, we'd get to talk faith and the gospel. And so I got a chance to talk to a guy that his view on the church was he would be just fine to worship in his kayak on the river as he sees the sun coming up. So that's well and good, and that's a beautiful way to praise our Creator and His creation. But our Scripture tells us to not neglect to meet together. Why? Because if we don't meet together, how are we going to stir each other up to love and good works? I'm going to read some facts later about sheep, about how they travel in pairs and they are in packs and work better in packs. That's what we do. So we need the community. We can't do this on our own. Everybody in the church strives together, and we come to form a common bond in the Lord. And now, let's move to the last text, and it's going to be found in 1 Peter 5. And so, what we just went over was some ways that we are to do in the church. And so now what we're going to look at in 1 Peter 5 is God's way of telling us how leadership will be in the church, and human leadership. And so we're going to start at 1 Peter 5, and I'll start reading at verse 1. So I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed. Shepherd the flock that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you. Not for shameful gain, but eagerly. Not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So, I think it's just awesome how God has blessed Vine Street, and me and Justin have just been here for just a few months, but the pastoral care that we received from Chris and Brandon and Dustin and Ben is just phenomenal. And as I was reading this passage, I'm just really thankful for the leadership that we get to sit under here, and the teaching and the worship that we get to enjoy every Sunday. And as Peter is writing here, he tells us that an overseer or an elder or a pastor is supposed to be excited about what he does. He's not supposed to feel like, oh, I've got to preach, or oh, I've got to watch over these kids, which I know sometimes Brandon probably feels like that down there. But we're supposed to be they're supposed to be excited, and they're supposed to do it willingly, as God would have them to, which is found in verse 2. They're not supposed to do it for shameful gain, but they're supposed to do it eagerly. Not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. And they get an awesome promise when the chief shepherd appears, who is Jesus. The pastors are going to receive an unfading crown of glory. And what does the text tell the rest of us in the church to do? Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another. As humans, we have a sin nature, and we know that we're pretty addicted to ourselves before Christ comes into our lives. So this text is just telling us to consider others better than ourselves in humility, and to clothe ourselves with it, just as you would put on clothes every day. Clothe yourself in the same way with humility. And it gives us a reason to do that, because God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. I am now going to read. So that kind of gave us some insight into the structure of the church. That gives us some insight of practical things we can do as a body of believers, and then how we're supposed to be subject to our elders. So we know that it says the chief shepherd, and that's referring to Christ. So when it says shepherd, it kind of makes us sound like sheep, right? And so I'm going to read some interesting facts off sheepinfo101.com that I read earlier that I was very impressed with. I have always heard the saying that sheep are very dumb, and that if no one is guarding them, they'll just walk off a cliff because they don't really know that the ground's underneath them. But this, according to sheepinfo101.org, you guys are welcome to go there after service, says something else. It says, due to their strong flocking instinct, and as I read this, I want you guys to keep in mind the church and us as a together. Due to their strong flocking instinct and failure to act independently of one another, sheep have been universally branded stupid. But sheep are not stupid. Their only protection from predators is to band together and follow the sheep in front of them. If a predator is threatening the flock, this is not the time to act independently. At the same time, there is a growing body of evidence that sheep may actually possess some smarts. And then also, a study of sheep psychology, which would just be an interesting job, has found man's woolly friend can remember the faces of more than 50 other sheep for up to 2 years. They can even recognize a familiar human face. The hidden talents of sheep revealed by a study in the journal Nature, which I know everybody subscribes to, suggests they may be nearly as good as people at distinguishing faces in a crowd. So what can we learn from these quote-unquote stupid animals? First thing we can learn is that when a predator attacks, how do they overcome? They stay together and they follow the leader. A simple thing that we've learned since we were very young is to follow the leader and the person that God's put over us, our elders. And also that sheep remember other sheep. And just like we are supposed to, like we saw in Hebrews, how we're supposed to remember each other and stir each other up to good works and love, sheep do that same thing. I don't know how much they love each other, but they remember each other. And so we can take a good lesson from sheep as well. And we always can take a good lesson from Scripture. And so that is what I had tonight. I thank you guys for bearing with me with my red face. That's how you can tell I'm getting nervous. I'm kind of like a thermometer. The more I go, the hotter I get until I just bust. And just thank you. It's a privilege just to just get this ready and to learn and to be able to share with you guys. So let me pray for us. Father God, thank you so much for your word that you give to us. Thank you so much for being our chief shepherd and being faithful to us and giving us a great high priest in Jesus. One high priest that loves us and will forever be with us and forever guide us into all truth and righteousness. We thank you for this time that we have together, and we pray your blessing on the rest of the service. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. And before Chris comes up here too, I was asked by Chris Moss, who's sick tonight, to take a head count of everybody that might be planning on going to a Woman's Choice this Friday. I'm not sure. Okay. it's going to be like scanning. Some people will be scanning old medical records for them, and then the others will be like organizing maternity clothes and baby clothes. And then we might get a chance to minister to some of the ladies too. It'll be at 1 o'clock. We'll meet over there at 1 o'clock, and then we'll be done by about 2:30. Maybe you guys. So maybe. Maybe. Okay. Gotcha. All right.
All right, thank you, Seth. Let's think of some things that we can pray for tonight. Let's start out with our great God category, some attributes of God that we can praise him for, or some things that we've seen this week that speak particularly to God's greatness and his goodness. I'm sorry, the foul weather? Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Whew, that's Kentucky for you. That's right. Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Yeah, totally. So we'll praise God that Liz and Doug made it home safely from Florida. Anything else in the great God category? Providence? Yeah, just that God's in control and that he's working all things for our good if we belong to him, which is an incredible promise. You know, just one other thing, just going off of what Seth spoke on tonight. Just let's praise God for this church. Let's thank him that he saw fit to establish this church and to keep it going strong throughout all these years, and that the Lord will continue to bless our church as we seek to submit ourselves to God's word. All right. Anything else? Okay. We'll go to the great commandment category, which is areas of spiritual growth and church events. Oh, yeah, that's right. First Sunday in April is a Super Sunday at Jeff Street. Remember that? And then a woman's choice. It's kind of our next kind of other mission opportunity. I can't remember if Chris might have shared this, but I also saw it in a blog post, but apparently the Louisville pregnancy Planned Parenthood is like one of the worst ones in the nation to come to if you want to get an abortion, because so many Christians will be there to show you another option, and that really does speak to the Christians in our city that are praying for that ministry, a woman's choice, that is. And volunteering of their time to just be a support to the ladies that are coming in, and let them know of what God's word says about it in a way that's loving, you know. And so I just thought that was interesting. Anything else? Spiritual growth or church events? Really? Wow, praise God. anything else we can be lifting up in prayer? All right. Let's look at the great commitment category. And this is prayer for our ministries and friends and family and neighbors. Chris actually texted me today. So Chris has got a really wicked sore throat. And then also his blood pressure was really high when he went to the doctor. And so that's got him real nervous, you know. So just pray for Chris, specifically just that his blood pressure will kind of get back to normal, because, you know, that's always real scary. And let's definitely pray for his recovery and that. I can give you an update on my gum surgery. It didn't happen Monday with the weather. They've put it off again till for another one. So you don't have to pray for that. But if you thought about it, I was, I guess I was just relaxing, eating solid food. So anything else? Friends or family members we can pray for? Definitely pray in prayer for that, just that the children will be and the youth will be attentive, but then also that just the gospel will be clear and clearly presented. Beulah May. Oh, man. Yeah. So just continue to pray for Beulah May in that situation. Yeah. Yeah. Maybe God's softening his heart, you know, towards. Mm-hmm. We'll definitely pray for them. Okay, yeah, so a praise that Ezra is feeling better. Janice is sick. So remember Janice. Gladys. Mm-hmm. Any update or any? Mm-hmm. So just be sure to pray for Gladys and just her spirits in this time. Any more before we move on to the Great Commission category? Okay, Great Commission category. So this would be lost friends and family that are on your heart this week. David Waters. And Denny. Anyone else? Remind me, Brian is. Okay, so this is Brian Hopper, Justin's cousin, and then one more time, Jake Francis, Justin's brother. So Brian and Jake. you can just be praying for Laura, Don, and I. We're going to be taking some classes with dealing with the baby and everything and preparing for that. And so we're going to be meeting a lot of non-Christian couples. And so that'll be really fun. And we're hoping that the Lord will give us an opportunity to share the gospel. And so maybe just pray for an opportunity to build a friendship with somebody that's not a believer that we might can share with. Anything else? Yeah, and this is your brother. So let's just pray for John's brother that there'll be more opportunities for John to share the gospel. Wow. Wow. Yeah. We'll definitely pray for that, John. John's brother, Kenny. John's brother, Kenny. Anything else? All right, let's divvy these up. Let's start on the left side, and we'll make our way around. We'll change it up a little bit. Wally, why don't you praise God for the good weather and the snow that's melting, and the Lord will just continue to show his favor in that. Betty, would you just thank the Lord for Vine Street and for that the Lord has established this church and kept it faithful, and just what a blessing it is. Let's see. Donnie, will you praise God that Liz and Doug made it home safely from Florida? And Jenny, will you just thank the Lord that he's in control and he works all things together for our good. Bob, will you pray for the Super Sunday that's going to come up in April for Jeff Street as we look towards that? Joe, would you pray for the opportunity to minister at A Woman's Choice? As we're building a relationship with that ministry and getting to know them and go through their training, that the Lord would just use us there. John, would you mind praying for Chris Moss? He's with his sore throat and then also at the high blood pressure, just that all of that will go away and that God will heal him. Chris Moss. Alan, would you pray for the youth group and Smart Kids, that the gospel would be presented clearly and that the children and the youth will be attentive? Justin, will you pray for Beulah May and just that whole situation? Well, basically, mm-hmm. just provision by God, and then just encouragement from us and from those around her. Is she a believer? So it's tough and complicated. Brenda, would you pray for Ezra and just praise the Lord that he's been he's feeling better. And Seth, would you pray for Janice Humpick because she's feeling sick, just that the Lord will heal her. Seth, sorry, I'm working my way down. No, yeah, you're good. Yep, right after Justin. Sorry, I'm moving left to right, so I you're right there in the middle. And then Maple, would you pray for Gladys and Pat? Would you pray for David Waters and Denny? And then I'll pray for the rest on the list there at the end. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer.